As I muddle in the middle, I praise you that you know the end from the beginning, Lord. Then God gave us special suffering. In January of 89, and then in December of 89, we lost our next two children in miscarriage. We named the first baby Raphael and the second baby Noel. And what God did in those precious, very painful times of suffering was to teach us, deep down in our hearts, some very rich truths that the Roman Catholic Church teaches. I really had a deep sense, knowing that a part of me has died and gone to be with the Lord, that there's a connection there. And for those Protestants who think of heaven as only just focusing on Jesus and the other people don't matter, I think misses the whole party aspect of what heaven's about. And that it's a celebration and a rejoining and rejoicing. And that doesn't diminish God's glory at all. It expresses it in how we love one another in heaven. I needed the supplication of Mary and the saints to get through those times of prayer. And looking at Hebrews 12:1, where it says, now we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, I felt cheered on. I felt wept over. I felt their support as I went through the tremendous losses of these two children. And if the saints are perfected, which we all believe they are, even Protestants believe they're perfected in heaven, and we know from James that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much, how much more the prayers of those who are in heaven? Suffering really is God's tool. And I must say, even though as a Protestant I would have understood that I can take my suffering and God can do wonderful things inside of me through it, there's a beautiful teaching within the Roman Catholic Church of the redemptive nature of suffering that was very helpful to me. And crucifixes had bothered me until that point. But as I lay in that hospital bed, and I was in for three different times over one miscarriage because of complications and problems and kidney infection and all, as I lay there in so much physical pain and I could look up and see that cross, it did two things. It said to me, number one, your suffering has meaning because I'm Lord of the universe, because my cross brings meaning to all suffering. And second of all, you aren't suffering as much as I have on your behalf. And it really, the cross, especially seeing Jesus hanging on it, was tremendously healing to me. And the other thing is that it points out we're out of control. One of the best things that can happen in our lives is when we become sick, if we've been apart from God. And he so graciously uses it, as Mother Teresa says, they're his gentle caresses to say, come back. Come back to reality. Come back to me. Then a couple months later, Hannah was in the hospital, our daughter. And I must say, it's one thing for you to be in the hospital, and it's a whole other for your daughter to be in the hospital. You're so out of control. She'd had a very high fever, and I won't go into details, but one morning, she'd already been in 4 days, and one morning her fever spiked to 105.2. And the nurses came rushing. It was about 5 in the morning, and I was sleeping alongside her, and I'm jumping up, and they're flipping on the lights and getting freezing cold towels. And thankfully, I'm not a nurse, so I had no idea what the complications from that could be. All I knew was that she was really sick. And she's screaming at me because they are taking ice cold towels and put them on her, and as soon as her little hot body would warm them up, they'd take it off and put another one on. And she's just shaking so hard and screaming. She's going, Mommy! You know, and here I am, her protectress, her helper, and I'm helping put on the towels. And she can't understand. And I felt the Lord put his hand on my shoulder in the midst of that and say to me, do you see now how much I have loved you? Do you see how great the pain has been from my hand? Because I want to heal you. Because I want to make you whole. We did have one special experience that I think helped sustain us in that last year, and that was getting new friends through the Society of St. James in Chicago. They're like-minded people who, unlike my Protestant friends who didn't want to hear anything, and my Catholic friends who couldn't imagine what was keeping me so long, these friends were all people in transition. And so they were all on pilgrimage, and it was like joining a bandwagon of people on pilgrimage. It was so exciting, and different ones are still struggling. But it was a real delight for us to be able to make those friends, and that they valued the pain that I was experiencing and could really rejoice in the discoveries as I was experiencing them. Last year, I entered both the RCIA program in our church, more because I really wanted to go the normal Catholic route of understanding things, because I didn't think our family life was normal Catholic formation. And because I really wanted to get alongside, you know, more Catholics. And then also I helped out with Michael's CCD class. And oddly enough, it was when his class was learning the Hail Mary. That's when I learned it, although I didn't practice it outside of his class for a long time. I wrote in January, when we moved into our Buell home, this is our home in Joliet, our finished dining room was so beautiful that it brought comfort to me, and I could stand and shield my eyes from the boxes and feel like our home was fully beautiful and life could be normal. Could I be that way in the Catholic Church? I could be if I knew what was in the boxes, but I don't feel confident yet what's in all those boxes. In other words, the beauty of the Catholic Church was grabbing me, but there were still a lot of unknowns. And then I had to come to grips with something. As I was feeling drawn to the Catholic Church, what could I do with all this pot full of emotion? I had detested at points the Catholic Church. I had grieved over the Catholic Church. I had hated the Catholic Church for what it had done in our marriage and in our lives. I mean, those were the words that I had used. And now all of a sudden I was drawn. I mean, it was almost like, how can you be drawn by someone that you have approached as an enemy? And it confused me. In fact, I had Protestant friends who were like, you know, it sounds a little schizo to me, you know. It doesn't make sense. And so I went to the Lord in prayer, and what I discovered was that I had to really come to face with what Scott had said, and that was, he wasn't the one imposing this on me, and neither really was the Catholic Church, but it was the Lord. I had to see God behind it all. And that night, as I went to bed, the image that came to my mind was, and see, I really don't buy into this idea that you just throw out your emotions at God and, you know, let God have it. You know, sometimes people get mad and the first thing they do is pipe off to God. And I really don't think that's safe, you know. I don't think we ought to do that. But this, I didn't know what else to do with my emotions. And I said, okay, God, you're behind it. You get it. And the picture was me as a little child sitting on my father's lap, just pummeling his chest and saying, why? Why have you caused all this pain? Why did you take my babies? I mean, that was all a part of this. Why have you caused so much? And I just beat his chest till I sobbed to sleep. And there was no resolution. And I want you to know, I've never gone to confession for that. I just let God have it. And I let him keep it. In the morning, we got the weirdest phone call. Bill Steldemeyer is a new friend from EWTN. And he called this morning and said, Kimberly, I just wanted to call you because I was having my devotions and the Lord told me, call Kimberly Hahn and tell her I love her. That's all. I don't have anything else to say. Have a good day, Kimberly. Goodbye. And it was like, where did that come from? It did not even connect with the night before. And then that night, and my mother doesn't normally do this, but she called me and we were talking and she said, you know, I just really had an impression today that I needed to tell you that God loves you. And all of a sudden it all fell into place and it was like, oh, God, you really did take all that anger, and you're still giving love. And I can honestly tell you, from that point on, I have not had any of those feelings of distesting or anger or frustration toward the Catholic Church. He really did absorb it all. Ash Wednesday, I dropped off my children at my sister's, and I was coming up to Steubenville to look for housing. And Scott was out in California leading a seminar with people on how to do apologetics with Catholics. And I was in the van. It was Ash Wednesday, and I was thinking, well, God, you know, what should I give up? Should I give up chocolate? You know, for me, that is a sacrifice, unfortunately. You know, should I give up desserts? You know, all these kind of miscellaneous things. And I did not hear an audible voice, but what I heard the Lord say to me is, why don't you give up? Why don't you give up yourself in a really deep, challenging, scary, as all get out way? And just trust me. You know enough. You know enough now. Trust me for the rest. And I spent the next 4 hours praying and worshiping and saying, yes, I will. In fact, poor Scott. The next night, I talked to him. I was bubbling over with this new house that I had found, and he said, you know, by the way, I'm at this conference, and, you know, they just kind of like to know, you know where you are. He's trying so hard to be casual about it. And, you know, they're just all asking, and I don't really know what to say. You know, what are you thinking? You know, maybe this Easter, maybe not. You know, what are you thinking? And I said, yeah, it's going to be this Easter for sure. And I told him what had happened, and he was like, you're kidding. Really, this Easter, you know? And he began to really, for the first time, I think, let himself really think it was possible we could be a Catholic family. And I really don't think much before that he let himself begin to think through what that could be like. And so it was time. It was time to be reunited under Scott's spiritual leadership. It was time to get into a common vision within the church. It was time for me to decide that the answers that I didn't have, I could find at a later time. And it was time for me to let go of the struggle and to really be thankful to God for what he had revealed to me. Sharing the news was not easy. There were some people who rejoiced so much that it was very humbling. You don't know how many rosaries I've said for you to convert, you know. And just to stand there and smile and say thank you, you know. And then for the Protestants who'd said, darn, I thought you'd held out for 4 years, you were going to go all the way, and now you've submitted, you know. And then the full gamut of emotions in between. And for my family, it has been real sad at times. Though there's no rejection. I mean, there's deep love for me. And my dad's challenge to me, and as always, he has been the man of God I've needed to be. He didn't discourage me or encourage me either way. He said, when you put Jesus right in front of you, what are you going to say to him? What can you say to him? And I said, Dad, I can say with my whole heart that I have loved you at great cost, and I have been obedient to all that I've understood. And couple of weeks, I'd like to just share a couple things I wrote in my prayer journal and then give a conclusion. On April 4th, which was about a week before I joined, I wrote, confession seems scary. Now I can't wait. Break apart in the spring thaw of your spirit, your blessed mother and the saints of heaven and those on earth, my cold heart. I want to get out of the way and let you work through me. Please forgive me for the years of resisting Scott's spiritual leadership, and please replace my heart of stone with a heart of flesh, your Eucharistic flesh. Thank you for the opportunity to take my filthy sins, and by your powerful grace in the sacrament of confession, through penance, allow me to participate in repairing the damage I have done to the body of Christ. Scott and I had a mutual time of confession and prayer together. Surely, Lord, you can restore these years the locusts have eaten. We want to be holy. No. Then Scott said, how about the rosary? I said, don't push it. I said, look, I want to become Catholic, okay? You know, one thing at a time. So wouldn't you know, God, the Holy Spirit, tells Bill Steldemeyer to give Scott, or to send, actually to send me, his rosary. And Scott was down there, and Scott said, well, I don't know how she'll receive it. And he said, well, just tell her that I got it from the Pope. And I was over in Rome, and he pulled it out of his pocket, and he blessed it, and then he gave it to me. And he said, I never thought I'd part with it. But the Holy Spirit told me to mail it to your wife, so I'm going to. When I got that rosary and held it, it was like, Lord, this is such, I know how this would be valued by so many of your people. I will use it. But God, I hope I'm not offending you. And I'd say the first 3 times that I prayed, just a decade, I was really concerned still that I was offending God by praying to Mary and by requesting her help in intercession. And I didn't tell Scott for 3 days that I was praying the rosary because it was too humbling. He'd given me a beautiful little booklet, Scriptural Rosary, and that helped a great deal to really focus on the scriptures and on those mysteries. But as I learned and grew, I just really couldn't wait to share it with him. And God did open another door of grace for me. And then after being on my first way of the cross, which was just shortly before Easter, I wrote this. I've thoroughly enjoyed the bridegroom and the parents in my walk as an evangelical Protestant, and I'm anticipating the wedding feast to come. But Jesus wants me also to know his bride, the church, and to realize more fully with whom I'll be celebrating. What groom wants you to simply come to the feast and stare at him? He wants us to know his bride and to cherish her too. And the church has been an abstraction for me until now, only spiritual, not tangible and physical. Now it's becoming more than uplifting services and challenging sermons. It's becoming personal, more than a collection of doctrines that's truer and richer than what I had before. It's becoming a living, breathing entity filled with faulty persons like myself, sick and needing a physician, all the while covered with the tremendous glory of God. Surely the monstrance is such a beautiful symbol of this gospel of Christ, the Christ flesh and blood in the center, and the many beautiful, rich doctrines emanating from it. I committed myself to giving up me for Lent, and yet, as it's always true with God, what is it I've given up but what I didn't want to hold on to? Your love is broken through, O God. Yes, Scott was right. Why are you doing this to me? To demonstrate your love for me. In Grove City, I remember the day I began to feel I didn't know who you were. Were you the God of the Protestants or the God of the Catholics? Were you just rooting for Scott and angry at me? I wondered, but I wouldn't budge. I wouldn't read or study or even pray. It was too painful. I didn't want to die to dreams and visions, to my M.A., to my understanding of truth. I had it down pat. To redefine theological terms or risk losing friendship or hurt my family, it just could not be. It was a nightmare someone had to save me from. And now, Lord, I can sense your love for me throughout, as I was, not just for what I would be. In the sanctuary tonight, your presence was so real. I believe you're there in the Eucharistic tabernacle. Please teach me all over again. I want to be pliable. I've been broken. Break me as you see fit. Pour on the oil of your joy to take the broken pieces of clay and make them moldable. My heart sings anew the goodness of the Lord. The crosses you've given me through Scott and from myself over these past 7 years are gifts. Suffering is having its way. So joining the Catholic Church really is my choice. It's my decision before Jesus. It's based on faith, study, and prayer. And my heart has trembled with joy as I've daily had, almost every day, probably at least 4 or 5 days a week, been able to go to daily communion and receive the Lord. And so many Catholics rejoiced with us. My sponsors, Dr. and Mrs. Alan Cheves, came down, and Catholic families and friends in Joliet celebrated. And then we drove up to Milwaukee and had a party up there on Easter Sunday. And my parents celebrate God's work in us, even though it's a separation from them. Sometimes Protestants claim that Catholicism puts so many things in between you and God that it's like a maze and you can't get to God. And yet I would say what I've experienced so deeply and richly is these are channels of His grace to bring us to Himself. That Mary, if Mary becomes a block where we just stop at her, we're offending her. Her whole mission was to bring us Jesus and to bring us to God, to bring us closer. The saints are there for us. The Pope is there to guide us and to give us inerrant teaching so that we can know what the foundation is upon which we base our lives, the Scriptures, and how to interpret them. I'd just like to leave with one challenge to Protestant brethren and to my new Catholic brethren. To my Protestant brethren, I would say what I've discovered has been my heritage from the beginning, and it is yours, the Roman Catholic Church. Come to the sacraments. Receive the grace God has to richly pour upon you through confession, through the Eucharist, through confirmation. Embrace the infallible interpretations that give us such a substantial foundation on which to base our lives, and those interpretations coming from the Word of God, which the Catholic Church claims to be inspired and which gave us, we got from the Roman Catholic Church. And finally, enjoy the teachings that celebrate Mary and the saints and the angels who surround us and who encourage us and who are there for every believer. And secondly, for Catholics, I would urge you to learn your faith. So many Catholics are being taken away from the Catholic Church and they don't even know their faith. They don't know how to defend it. It's defendable. It's defensible. Please learn it and then live it. Don't be Sunday Christians. Look to Jesus not only as your Savior, but as your Lord. Help Him make the difference in your money and in your time and in your talents and in your body. As Scott says, it ought to make the difference the way you comb your hair. He wants to be Lord of every facet of our lives. And what we want to do is to live to the praise of His glory in such a way that we are salt to make people thirsty to know Him. And may you be salt to make people thirsty to know you. And then may you love the Lord with your whole heart. And that's the challenge for all of us. And from the beginning, I really sense God's work in a powerful way in my life to learn about Him, to live faithfully to what He has revealed to you and to me, and for us to love Him. God bless you. Thank you.